On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Well, for today's Heritage Foundation update, we catch up with Leanna Graham at the Heritage Foundation. Leanna, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you know, as I do from time to time, you know, we have these regular updates from the Heritage Foundation, and I kind of wonder how many in our audience hear that and maybe haven't taken the time to go to heritage.org and in general find out what the Heritage Foundation is. What can you tell them?
Well, the Heritage Foundation is a think tank that writes policy, that seeks to influence policy, law, and culture, and fosters a conservative perspective. So if you're interested in the things that we have to say, the policy that we've written, I'd highly recommend going to heritage.org. We just released a wonderful paper on family policy. It's called Saving America by Saving the Family, a Foundation for the Next 250 Years. So we're really, really trying to foster that kind of conversation and bring Americans back to the true good and the beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and it's so powerful to bring it back to the family. I know often we can kind of go down a rabbit hole when it comes to politics on this broadcast. And mm-hmm. I will often bring it back to not only family, but, you know, speaking to our listeners, specifically reminding them it's Jesus in the family that's going to have the impact that we want to see in our city, in our county, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. So we appreciate all that the Heritage Foundation is doing. We often go to stories found at the Daily Signal or dailysignal.com. And, you know, often, Leanna, these stories, now they might come from Virginia or Pennsylvania, Texas, California, and often, you know, they're on relevant issues that are happening in these states that I just mentioned that may not necessarily be happening in New Mexico yet. What I wanted to address today was some potential legislation being prepared just to the north of us. You know, just it's just a short trip up I-25 to head into Colorado from New Mexico. You know, often what you see happening, whether it's in our neighboring states or states around the nation, these are things that we may see coming up in our own legislation sooner than we would ever want to think. But there was an article at Daily Signal, and I'll read the headline. It says, Democrats move to make Colorado the first state to legalize prostitution. What could go wrong? I'm assuming that's a very sarcastic question, what can you tell us, Leanna?
Right. Yes. The answer to that question is a lot. A lot can go wrong, and a lot of people in New Mexico will probably feel the effects of it. So for backdrop, on February 11th, Colorado introduced a bill into their Senate to decriminalize prostitution statewide so that the selling and the purchasing of quote-unquote sexual services would no longer be considered a crime. And Colorado law currently prohibits prostitution, so this bill would actually repeal existing state laws, which prohibit a number of things relating to prostitution, including soliciting, keeping, or operating a place of prostitution, or public displays for prostitution purposes. Most of these crimes are treated as petty offenses, but others, like operating a brothel, for example, carry with them harsher penalties. Now, this bill was introduced in the Colorado Senate would change that, but it's really important for listeners to understand just how radical this bill is in comparison to other states that have introduced legislation to legalize prostitution. And the distinction between decriminalization and legalization is really important here. So some states that have legalized prostitution have adopted what is called the Nordic model, and that only criminalizes the buying, not the selling of sex. So it's also a partial decriminalization. Maine, for example, enacted a law along the lines of the Nordic model in 2023. And Nevada, in addition, has legalized prostitution famously, but they haven't fully decriminalized it. So the fact is that they've legalized it. It means that they've legalized an activity. And so it's illegal within a regulatory framework. So in Nevada, prostitution is legal, but it's heavily regulated. Brothels have to be licensed. licensed. So what is being proposed in the Colorado Senate is a complete decriminalization. It's a removal of criminal penalties related to consensual prostitution, which would effectively create a Wild West in the world of prostitution. So that is what we're dealing with. That is what was just introduced in the Senate in Colorado.
Yeah, you know, and you say its impact on New Mexicans, and I would say that's multifaceted. I think the immediate effect, wherever prostitution increases or decriminalized or legalized, along with it is the increase in human trafficking, human mm-hmm. sex trafficking specifically. And, you know, with I-25 being the conduit between Mexico and Colorado, I would anticipate we would see an increase in human trafficking in our state. Not to mention just the legislation being looking to potentially being passed in Colorado, clearly is contrary to biblical values. And third, it's a slippery slope. We've seen all kinds of legislation, even just recently in the recent session in the Roundhouse in Santa Fe. That would be legislation that the Christian community you would expect would want to oppose, and some of which was passed. Mm-hmm. And if you think that's bad, just look to Colorado and what's happening. You know, Liana, I'd almost put to you, how important is it for those with values and ideologies that line up with biblical values, how important is it to be engaged in the public square?
Well, that's a question I think that pretty much answers itself. Obviously, it's very important for Christians to be involved. Christians have a duty, the strong have a duty to protect the weak. And the reality is, as you've articulated, wherever prostitution is legalized or decriminalized, we do see a rise in rates of human trafficking. And when you think about it, that actually makes a lot of sense, because trafficking often operates under the cover of consensual sex. A 2012 study, for example, from the London School of Economics found that foreign countries that legalized or decriminalized prostitution had higher rates of human trafficking. So the concern is well-founded in the empirical literature that wherever sex work, as they call it, or prostitution is decriminalized, trafficking increases. And obviously Christians should be concerned, because this has to do with, one, vulnerable populations. It's very easy for young people, especially young women, to be coerced into this kind of trafficking situation, especially with the rise culturally of things like OnlyFans. Socially, we've sort of destigmatized sex work. We've made it an empowering thing. We've told young women that if you pursue this quote unquote line of work, that this is a way that you can make money. This is a way you can pursue independence. So there's a concern here, not only about trafficking, but who is going to be trafficked? Who is going to be compelled to pursue what they see as just a totally normal line of work? And so there's a concern there with an assault against human dignity and a genuine victimization that could take place, but also there are social concerns, our cultural concerns. This adds to the way that our culture has basically repackaged sexuality. They have removed it out of the sacred context of the family, out of marriage. They've treated it as something that we could just participate in the way we engage in any sort of biological urge. And the reality is that we are embodied beings. When we engage in an activity like that, we're not just encountering a body, we're encountering an embodied person. We're encountering soul, an image bearer of God. It's incumbent upon us to treat that person with the respect that they deserve. And the reality is that sex work, or as it's called, it should be called prostitution, it inherently objectifies human beings, because the nature of what it is utilizing another person for their body and deriving satisfaction from that in exchange for some sort of monetary compensation. So intrinsically, what prostitution is an objectification of image bearers of God. And Christians have a fundamental duty to speak the truth and to protect the weak and the vulnerable. And so this is precisely what's happening in Colorado. The vulnerable will be victimized if this legislation does come into effect, and Christians have a duty to speak up against it.
Yeah, you know, listen, Pornography is a whole nother subject, but the connection between that and prostitution is human trafficking. Many people don't even realize, first of all, I mean, most people in the church community, they know that if they're engaging in viewing pornography, they are, you know, in a practice that is contrary to biblical principles. But if you are engaging in that, you're also supporting human trafficking. The other thing I wanted to mention, you know, a couple of times in walking through this, you mentioned young women. The truth is, along with young women that will be involved in the human trafficking aspect is young girls, underage. And it's just something that should horrify all of us. And it should be something, you know, it's not too early to maybe go to dailysignal.com and go to this article. By the way, I want to give credit to Tyler O'Neill for putting this together. You can search for that title, or just search for Tyler O'Neill. But Democrats moved to make Colorado the first state to legalize prostitution. What could go wrong? And send a copy of that article to your legislator and let them know now where you stand on it when most likely it eventually rears its ugly head in the roundhouse in Santa Fe. Who knows when, but why not get ahead of it? Liana, I appreciate your time. And you know, I'm going to ask you one more thing. And we didn't talk about this off the air in preparation for our conversation. So if I'm bushwhacking you, just say, you know, I don't know, but it's well worth looking into. But maybe you will have some information on this. You know, wherever you see things like the legalization of marijuana, beyond medical marijuana or marijuana in general, lottery and casinos and, you know, all the things that the Christian community says, this is not going to be good. You know, what have we seen typically happen? And specifically on the topic of the legalization of prostitution, what have we seen happen in Europe?
Mm-hmm. Well, generally speaking, when things are decriminalized, the demand for it goes up because the market has been opened up. So in the case of, for example, the legalization of drugs, there was a London School of Economics study that found that in countries like in Portugal, for example, that has decriminalized certain, I think all drug uses, they have found an increase of usage. And I think that this touches on the idea that we often say as conservatives, and I think this is true, that politics is downstream from culture. And so when we see like legal changes happening, often we say it's because of cultural changes. But what I think people often miss is sometimes culture can be downstream from politics. And there is a sense in which the law can actually instruct us and inform us about what society deems as true, good, and beautiful, but it also has the power to shape what we value and our behavior. It has the power to say, this is actually what we uphold as virtuous, and this is something that we are going to punish. And so in the case of this permissive expansion of all of these industries that you've talked about, prostitution, drugs, gambling, it does send a message through the law that we are now a society that thinks that this sort of thing is okay, that this should not be shameful, this should not be taboo. And Christians shouldn't shy away from the idea that there are certain things that are taboo, because we believe in moral objectivism. We believe in an enduring moral order, and a properly ordered conscience would be able to recognize good from bad. And so that's generally the effect that we see in these sorts of industries. And I think it's something we need to be aware of, because it's not just enough to point to the effect that this law will have empirically speaking, but also asking outside of the effect, just what does it communicate to people? And don't lawmakers have a responsibility and a duty outside of making good laws that have good effects? Outside of that, they also have a duty to speak truth. So we should also ask just intrinsically, what do these laws communicate to the public? And in what way will those laws actually have an effect on shaping what the public values? And I think that the effect will be, it'll change the way the public views those sorts of things. And Christians should be concerned about that.
Yeah, Leanna Graham with the Heritage Foundation, well said. We'd encourage our audience to go to heritage.org to find out more about the organization and more on this article and other topics relevant to you and your family found in the news outlet at dailysignal.com. Leanna, thanks again for your time and sitting in for Emma. Great job pinch hitting today. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.